Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody because it's Monday. It's Monday. It means I'm joined by you guys. You guys offered me up your questions on iTunes, and I am going to be here to respond to them. So let's go ahead and get into this thing. I already kind of went through some of the questions. A quick response or quick request. Sorry. If you guys wouldn't mind, when you guys send your questions to iTunes, if you could just, you know, keep them to a few sentences here or there, because I prefer reading the questions verbatim on the show, just because it gives it more of a feel as if you guys are actually, you know, here with me and asking your question too. So if you could keep those questions short, I can read them verbatim and answer them as they come. But when I, you know, when I hop on here and I see, you know, theses, it gets kind of tough to answer all the questions. But bigger point, though, much more important point, thank you guys so much for leaving these things. Again, it's like I say, every show that you guys send in these questions, they help me keep the lights on. They give me content to talk to you guys about. You guys have really cool ideas, and it makes it so that I feel like I'm really interacting with you guys individually as best I can. So today's show, we're going to talk about Summer League. We're obviously going to talk about the Kawhi Leonard situation, what the Lakers are capable of doing here and there. It's going to be a fun one. Let's go ahead and jump into this thing, and I'm going to take the first question here just in the order that I see it. This is from Coach Mike 05. It basically asks if LeBron is worth the headache or potential headache of all of his future demands, right? And this is from Coach Mike 05_116. Look, that's the number one negative here, right? That's the number one, I guess, quote unquote, issue that you might have with acquiring LeBron is we've seen what kind of roster he puts together when he's given kind of carte blanche, right? We have J.R. Smith who dribbles the wrong way. He always wants to have at least one clutch client, and so you overpay Tristan Thompson. He just overvalues, or not overvalues, but he prefers veterans to young kids. And while there's something to that, while veterans are a little bit more easy to predict, unless said veteran is J.R. Smith, it limits the ceiling on your team. So one of the things that we've really watched take place here is Golden State was obviously always very good, but they became even better as they grew together, right? And what winds up happening here is the Cavs have always kind of had this ceiling on how good they might be or maybe even become because the guys that LeBron wants on his team are fully formed, right? They've been in the league long enough to know what they are, what they're good at, and all those things. And there's something to be said about a role player understanding that they are a role player. But it also limits the amount of growth that might happen as the team works together. And the Warriors are very heavily invested in having young pieces on the team, the Ian Clarks, the Jordan Bells, the Patrick McCaws. And what that does for you is, yes, there's some issue, there's some question with how good that player might be when the moment actually gets to them. We saw that with Quinn Cook in the Houston series where the pass went out to him. He actually fumbled the ball because he didn't want it and then missed a key three-pointer, and the Warriors wound up losing the game. But Quinn Cook is going to be prepared moving forward for any moment that kind of rises up for him. And the Warriors are already a really good team. But as Jordan Bell comes into his own, as Kevon Looney comes into his own, they are going to continue to get better. They're going to continue to improve without having to add pieces to the roster. And I would hope that maybe LeBron has noticed this. And this is the one thing that if the Lakers really want to keep all their kids together, this is one of the things that they can tell LeBron is, hey, look, I know that you want veterans here, but if we give Lonzo Ball enough time to grow and he reaches his potential while you're still in your prime, well, that's a cost-controlled, really valuable asset who was also a really good player and is going to continue to get better. And as LeBron reaches the next stage of his career, maybe Lonzo takes up some, fills in the gaps as LeBron slips a little bit or maybe starts to show slippage, you know, if he ever does do that. And, it, and you know, usually you would say, yes, he's definitely going to show slippage, but I'm not, you'd be hard pressed to convince me that he isn't some kind of cyborg. So, to get back to the question from Coach Mike, that was a bit of a detour away from the point, but yes, he is worth the headache. He is worth whatever comes with him, because at the end of the day, you want to field good basketball players, and he happens to be the best one right now. Maybe he won't be next season. Maybe he, you know, there's an argument to be made for Kevin Durant right now, but the Lakers need to land a star here. That's been the entire plan since Magic Johnson came over. And until they do, their plan, their, I guess, process, if we were in Philadelphia, is unfulfilled. And they need to, the Lakers need to start fielding talent. And LeBron goes a long way, not just in being talented himself, but also being good enough to convince other players to come and play with him, even potentially for cheaper. I'm going to take a quick second here. When we come back, we are going to answer the next question, and it's going to be about the Summer League. Summer League is kind of sort of right around the corner, so let's talk about what I want to see from that. We'll get to that here in a second. This is from Vujicic Fan, and they are asking basically about Las Vegas Summer League and what I want to see from that. So the first thing that I want to see from that is, one, Thomas Bryant. I am completely sold on this kid as a prospect. He's a big who can move his feet. He has a crazy good motor. He shoots a three-pointer very naturally. Crowds love him, and that's worth something too. He's somebody who I really want to see, and Vegas is a great place for him to showcase everything that he's good at because of the style of play out there. The other thing that I want to see is Josh Hart. Josh Hart showed a ton of promise this year, being a 3-and-D guy, but he says he wants to potentially be more than that. And I'm cool with that. That's fine. It's cool for an NBA player to want to strive to be more than what they are. That's how growth happens. But I also think there's value in understanding what a player is good at, or a player understanding what he is good at. And if Josh Hart shows that he is capable of more and shows that he is too good to belong in those games, cool. Although I would also like to see, hey, has he really, you know, the shooting that we saw as the season went along, is that legit? Has he really worked on his defense? Has he improved himself as a leader and a vocal leader out there on the court when surrounded by lesser players, as he will be in Summer League? Those are the kind of things that I really want to see. And if the Lakers make a draft pick this year, obviously you need to see how that player pans out. Another guy that a lot of people are going to ask, well, is Lonzo going to play? Is Kuzma going to play? No, they aren't going to probably, and if they do, maybe they'll play a quarter, and then Magic will get up and do that that GIF thing where he gets up and he says, no, that's enough. We've seen enough from this guy, and they'll be off the court rather quickly. Maybe Alex Caruso plays a little bit. Maybe the Lakers find a player that they can field on their Summer League team. It's really too bad that David Nwaba already signed in Europe. I kind of, if he was going to leave Chicago, then I would have said he'd come back to the Lakers, because he was a missed piece, really, based on what we saw this year. So those are the kind of things that I would like to see from the Lakers. Wins don't matter. Even development from some players that they'll have on their roster isn't going to matter as much, because they aren't going to be on the Lakers roster. And really, here's the other thing that I want to see from Summer League. I want to see LeBron Lakers jerseys. I want to see Kawhi Leonard Lakers jerseys, Paul George Lakers jerseys. I want, like, that's the Lakers' top priority here. And as cool as it would be if they find another diamond in the rough and that player shows out there in Summer League, that'd be cool. But what's more important is if those Paul George, LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, whatever other player that you want to see in Lakers purple and gold or foreign blue and gold, that's more important than anything that we might see from any player who might play in summer league. So hopefully that happens. I'm going to take another quick second here. Actually, you know what? I'm not. I'll answer another question really quickly. And it's because I've answered this question a few times. This is from Is Attack, getting Dang off the cap as a subject. And basically, can Dang be signed and traded for LeBron, right? Or can LeBron be signed and traded for Luol Deng? Here's the issue with a sign and trade of any type here, whether it's with Paul George or with LeBron James, is that hard caps the team. And that impacts your flexibility to go out and get another superstar. And where the Lakers currently sit right now, the only way that they're going to convince a LeBron James or a Paul George to come to the Lakers is if they tell them we still have enough flexibility to go out and get you another superstar. No superstar is going to come to the Laker by himself. Those days are over. That's the Lakers. A lot of people are saying, hey, look, this is the return of Lakers exceptionalism. And this is a product of the Lakers market that they are able to, to garner interest from superstars. Superstars are interested in the Lakers because of the market and all that, but also because the Lakers are capable of landing another superstar. If they don't land a second superstar, that first superstar is probably not coming over. And look, the top priority is here this season for the Lakers is to land superstars, plural, and get back on the map and be in legitimate title contention. That's what Magic Johnson was brought over for, is so that he can sell free agents as the I guess gem of charisma that he is. What can he do when put in front of a superstar? Can he convince LeBron to come to the Lakers? And the way that he's going to convince LeBron to come to the Lakers is by telling LeBron, we can get you Paul George, we can get you Kawhi Leonard, we can get you whichever player that you want to play with, and you go from there. All right, now I am going to take a quick second. And when we come back, I have two more questions to answer here. This is, we have a Kawhi question. And you know, they're wondering what the Lakers are capable of here. And a question about Luke Walton and how he handles having three superstars on the team. We'll get to all of that here in a second. All right, so here's a question from Simply CJ18. Great podcast, love the hot takes. Question, assuming we trade for Kawhi for Dang, Ingram, and picks, plus sign Paul George and LeBron, would you offer a package headlining Lonzo Ball and maybe Kuz or Hart with some other salary for Kemba Walker, who makes $12 million next season? A starting lineup of Kemba, Kawhi, Paul George, LeBron, and a center. In this case, they list Brook Lopez and Nerlens Noel would be intriguing. I personally would rather keep Lonzo because I think he fits better with that team with his intangible and IQs, and he's cost-controlled at the rookie scale. Plus, LeBron seems to like Lonzo. This gets back to the point I was making a second ago, right? Where, yes, the immediate ceiling on the team rises if you trade Lonzo for Kemba Walker. But I think Lonzo has, and this is going to sound crazy, but I think Lonzo has a higher ceiling than Kemba Walker does right now. And so the gamble there is, do we think Lonzo is going to reach that ceiling? And I am pretty confident. I think Pete and Harrison are both more confident in Lonzo that he does reach that ceiling. And if he does, he's the kind of point guard you beat Golden State with because of his switchability and his length, which bothers Steph Curry as much as any character trait or ability or attribute might bother Steph Curry. And really, that's the goal here. This is just like when the Lakers had Shaq and Kobe. You saw teams all over the NBA building just to specifically beat Kobe and Shaq and those Laker teams. And that's where the Lakers and where the rest of the NBA is right now, where they are building their teams specifically to beat a Golden State or to beat a Houston, I guess, or to, you know, if you're in the East, to beat what Philadelphia or Boston might become, the Lakers have to keep an eye out and really be cognizant of what type of things give the Warriors issues. That's why it's really intriguing that LeBron and Kawhi could potentially team up with the Lakers, because you're talking about two guys who have really legitimately given the Lakers problems. So I agree with CJ in that I think keeping Lonzo is the better move. All that said, here's the problem. We know how LeBron operates. We know he doesn't stick around for immaturity. We know he doesn't like distractions. We know he prefers veterans. And so if the Lakers are capable of trading Lonzo for Kemba, or Lonzo in salary for Kemba, and LeBron catches wind of that, guess what his priority is going to be? And unfortunately, that would probably mean LeVar Ball gets to deal with Michael Jordan, and that would be a blast. LeVar Ball dealing with either Greg Popovich or Michael Jordan this upcoming offseason is an underrated part of the craziness that has already taken place this summer. Like, that would be tremendous. Just listening to him try to deal with Greg Popovich and the press conferences that would come about. I pity the person, the beat reporter who has to ask Greg Popovich the question about LeVar Ball, saying that he thinks he would be a better coach for the San Antonio Spurs than Greg Popovich currently is. Like, you might actually see a reporter die just from the look that Greg Popovich gives him there. And we need that. I need that in my life. Or if LeVar or Lonzo is sent to, just like in this hypothetical, to Charlotte, imagine Michael Jordan catching wind of LeVar Ball saying that he would beat him one-on-one. Like, that's something that might actually happen. Like, that'd be great, right? Michael Jordan comes out of retirement just to dunk on LeVar Ball. Like, that's another thing that we just happen to need in our lives. So yes, to answer CJ's question, I agree that I think a team with Lonzo Ball and Kawhi and Paul George and LeBron actually has a higher ceiling than a team with Kemba and those three guys. But in the immediate future, given the fact that LeBron is going to be interested in winning titles as soon as he possibly can, I think how that all turns out is Kemba winds up being a Laker, or Dame Lillard winds up being a Laker, and you kind of go from there. And that would be a really fun team. It would be a great team, but you know, it would also, I think you would also be capable of greatness with Lonzo at the helm as well. All right, last question here. This is from friend of the show, friend of the podcast, Nick Batchelor. This is about Luke Walton. How do you think Luke Walton would do if we landed three franchise players, Kawhi, Paul George, and LeBron James? And then they're confident. Nick is confident that it's going to happen. Signed, Nick Batchelor. All right, so this is the story of a girl. No, I'm kidding. It's late, guys. I'm sorry. But this is the key variable here in the Lakers potentially acquiring three superstars is we don't know quite yet how Walton handles that. To this point, Luke Walton has been really, really good without any expectations. And if he has expectations on him, do some of his shortcomings as a coach, rotations, set plays, offensive system, do those things come to the forefront in a way that gambles the ceiling or the title window that you get by acquiring those three guys? And if that does happen, do the Lakers look to sign or hire a more, I guess, trustworthy, for lack of a better term, because of you know what you get with that coach, head coach over Luke Walton? Do they go that route? That's going to be really interesting to watch. Personally, I think he's ready for it, because more than anything, more than offensive system, more than defensive rotations, more than minutes allocation, when you're dealing with those three superstars, the most important thing there is understanding how to deal with egos and managing chemistry and managing the way, just being a leader of men. And I think in that regard, Luke Walton is about as good as they come. Nobody has really ever complained about communication issues with him. He's very good at handling the media and the attention that might come with those three guys at the Lakers. Like that type of microscope or magnifying glass that you might have under those circumstances, like that's something that you always have to be aware of. And I think Luke Walton has shown an ability and a proclivity to handle that type of attention to this point. And I think if LeBron comes and the media circus that comes with him comes to LA, I think Luke is very well positioned to handle that. And I think that, as much as any other aspect and any other attribute that you look for in a coach, is something that I feel very confident in his abilities with. So I think he would handle that situation very well. And if he doesn't, the Lakers always have that explanation or excuse of, well, he wasn't our hire, right? And if things don't go very well really quickly, we saw Mike Brown fired after 5 games. I think Luke Walton would get more than 5 games because of his relationship with ownership. But I do think, though, that if they don't live up to expectations with those three guys on the Lakers roster, Walton is the first guy to catch blame, unfortunately. As unfair or fair as it might be, or might not be, that's where it would probably play out. That's how it would probably play out. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Lakers Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys for sending in your questions. You guys are awesome. And look, I really appreciated these questions, but I didn't get any random ones. The Incredible 2, The Incredibles 2 came out this past weekend. Father's Day was this past weekend. I love giving cooking advice and bartending advice. That kind of stuff I'm really interested in. Fire all those questions away at me. You can do so on iTunes in the form of a 5-star review. I will only respond to questions with 5-star reviews. And those of you who leave less than 5-star reviews, man, you need a hug. You need a hug. If I ever see you, I'll give you a hug. That'll do it, though. Happy Father's Day to all of you. I'm recording this Sunday night. Dad, if you're listening, happy Father's Day. I love you a ton. Roger, my father-in-law, if you're listening, you probably aren't. I love you. Thank you for everything that you have trusted me with. All of you fathers out there, I hope you had a great Father's Day weekend. I'll talk to you again Tuesday or tomorrow. I'll find a guest for you. I'm sure we'll get an update on the Kawhi Leonard situation, and that's probably where our focus will be, at least partially or for parts of the show. And then we'll see where it goes from there. Have a great day, everybody.